Bula Network, episode 90. Memorial Day weekend, 2011, it's Friday, May the 27th. Yeah, buddy. We'll just entitle today's show, How I Turned an Investment of $186.14 into an Utter Waste of Time. Now, you may have invested more than that, but I'll tell you how I came up with that number. Hey, the website is BulaNetwork.com. If you go there, and I would appreciate it if you would, and subscribe to the podcast, you can do that through your RSS reader, or you can do it through iTunes. There are all kinds of social icons over there at the website, ways that you can connect with us. I love your audio feedback. You can call up 214-736-4406 and leave me your feedback. How I turned an investment of $186.14 into an utter waste of time. Yes, kids, we're talking about online businesses, doing business online, achieving the all your wildest fantasies. It's Pedro, you know, from Napoleon Dynamite. All your wildest dreams will come true. Now, it is no secret that some years ago, I embarked very purposefully on a mission to gain some understanding of internet marketing. And I was very naive because having spent my lifetime in sales and marketing, I understood internet marketing to be, well, marketing done over the internet. That made perfect sense to me. I did not know when I began to do my research that internet marketing as a space, as an industry, is really what historically in the offline world we call the biz op business. That is, it's business opportunity. Now, there are all kinds of magazines that have existed through the years, and you could flip over into the back of a variety of these. You know, I mean, they were those income opportunity kind of magazines, and you could flip over into the back and you could read. And occasionally I'd pick one up simply to read the sales copy because some of it was really good. I mean, it just was, and I found it quite entertaining. You could read headlines and you could read the sales copy, and these were basically magazines that promoted a litany of business opportunities, ways that you could make money. And many of these were ways that you could make money from home. Well, man, that was just, who doesn't want to do that? Now, long back before the internet, there were all kinds of mail order biz ops, because that's what it was. You could go to any bookstore back in the day, and you could find book after book after book about being in the mail order business, because that's typically how you had to do it. If you had a business from home, there might be a variety of wholesale opportunities so that you could get some kind of an account, buy products, get them into your garage, take out some ad in the back of a magazine, and hope to get orders. And of course, the claims that got everybody was, how great would it be if your mailbox, if just almost by magic, your mailbox just began to be full of checks. Man, wouldn't that be terrific? Well, it didn't take a genius copywriter to come up with verbiage that would just kind of ignite the dreams and the passions within most people who thought, man, it'd be great. It'd be great if I could sell something and people would send me checks. That'd be awesome. Well, mail order, I mean, talk about paling in comparison to the opportunities on the internet. I mean, it's not even in the same universe. But the same principles are still in play. And in fact, many of the copy points that I remember seeing 30 years ago, even further back than that, they're still very prevalent today. It's kind of funny when I stop and think about it. Now, when I began to really dive in, and it was probably, in earnest, I began to probably dive into this thing between 6 and 7 years ago now. And by diving in, I mean, that's when I began to set aside some money. Now, I didn't know what I was getting into. I did not have a clear understanding, and you can call me an idiot, many people have, but I did not understand that internet marketing was a biz op business when I began to dive in. So my vantage point was, it's marketing done over the internet, and I want to see what these cats are up to. I want to see what are the differences in this. Now, I would find out rather quickly, well, there aren't any differences because some of the names I knew, because these were names that were big in the offline world. These were names that were big in marketing, in direct mail marketing, and in mail order. They just took their game and brought it over to the internet. All fine and well, by the way. So I dive in some years ago, and I set aside some money intentionally and just kind of made it a project, and I invested in what are now called information products. I don't remember them being called that when I first set out. Maybe they were. And very, very quickly realized that this wasn't at all internet marketing. It was biz op. It was, let us show you how you can make money at home. Let us show you how you can make money online. It was an income opportunity business. And of course, we all know how huge it is because, well, it ignites this dream. It ignites this passion that is fairly universal. I don't care who you are, and I don't really care necessarily. Well, okay, if you're Mark Cuban or Bill Gates or some of these cats, maybe. But the rest of us mere mortals, yeah, okay, we can kind of get jazzed over the notion of, man, wouldn't it be great to make a few extra this or a few extra that? And boy, if we could replace our income from our J-O-B, man, how terrific would that be? Be awesome. Be awesome. Now, forget the fact that I think one of the, of course, there's all kinds of statistics out there. Small business owners. I mean, forget the fact that in all likelihood, the small business owner has a job. His business is his job. We get all infatuated with passion and, oh man, you know, it'd be great. Wouldn't it be great? We can work for ourselves and, yeah, you know, want to be great that we eat, drink, and sleep this thing and we work 80, 100 hours a week and make $31,000 a year. But that, okay, well, forget that. We don't want to talk about that. That's not a good dream. That's a nightmare. $186.14. Yes, okay, it's not a little bit tongue-in-cheek. It's a whole lot of tongue-in-cheek. How I turned an investment of $186.14 into an utter waste of time. Well, I invested far more than that. But here's how I got to that. A couple of domain names is going to cost you about $15.74. Hosting, shared hosting, let's call it $83.40. Well, WordPress, that's the end all be all, we know. Well, let's don't go with a cheap theme. Let's don't go with a free theme. Let's go with a premium theme. We'll pay $87 for that. That totals $186.14. And we're in biz, kids. We are in business. It's all it takes. It's absolutely all it takes. $186.14. Now, granted, nearly $100 of that, and we're going to have to pony up every year. Well, what business can you get in that cheap? You're right. None. Man, it is dirt cheap. Let me introduce an element here. Let me introduce a two-word element here. And I will be explaining this, and I'm just going to take it from Wikipedia. Come on, it's the reliable source of choice these days. And here is the phrase. And I'll put this in the show notes. Anecdotal evidence. Anecdotal evidence. Here's what Wikipedia says of it. The expression anecdotal evidence refers both to evidence that is factually unreliable as well as evidence that may be true but cherry-picked or otherwise unrepresentative of typical cases. In other words, there are two distinct meanings. One, evidence in the form of an anecdote or hearsay is called anecdotal if there's doubt about its veracity. That means truthfulness. The evidence itself is considered untrustworthy. Number two, evidence, which may itself be true and verifiable, used to deduce a conclusion which does not follow from it, usually by generalizing from an insufficient amount of evidence. For example, my grandfather smoked like a chimney and died healthy in a car crash at the age of 99 does not disprove the proposition that smoking markedly increases the probability of cancer and heart disease at a relatively early age. In this case, the evidence may itself be true, but does not warrant the conclusion. In both cases, the conclusion is unreliable. It may not be untrue, but it doesn't follow from the evidence. You heard enough? Evidence can be anecdotal in both senses. Goat yogurt prolongs life. I heard that a man in a mountain village who ate only yogurt lived to 120. The term is often used in contrast to scientific evidence, such as evidence-based medicine, which are types of formal accounts. Some anecdotal evidence does not qualify as scientific evidence because its nature prevents it from being investigated using the scientific method. Anecdotal evidence. And marketing is full of anecdotal evidence. We heard some a couple of years ago now. The FTC, the Federal Trade Commission, had a monumental clampdown that, well, the internet just, marketers all over the world were just, who did business in the U.S., were just quite outraged and incensed by it. And it had to do with really two things. Well, it had to do with a number of things, but let me focus on two. It had to do with full disclosure. That is, if you're going to promote things, if you're going to be an affiliate marketer, then you've got to disclose that you're going to be earning some money, that there's the potential that if they click this link that you have suggested they click, that you have a profit motive. If you go to my website, connectwithrandy.com, and if you scroll down, you will see a section called resources. In that section, you are going to see some things that I have purchased with my own money, things that I have investigated, things that I have used, and some things that I think are worthwhile things. Every one of those links, and if you read, there is a full disclosure at the top and the bottom of those links telling you that if you click these, I'm going to earn a commission. You're not going to pay any more for it if you click those links, as you will if you go over to their website directly without clicking through my link. But that's how affiliate marketing works. Now, I don't make any big deal about it. I don't push it. I don't promote it. I don't make any kind of significant money from it. And I really don't try to. These are just things that occasionally people will ask me, well, what do you use for this and what do you use for that? And so I began to list a few of those things, and I thought, you know, well, if I'm going to do it, yeah, sure, I'm not crazy. I'm a capitalist. I might as well make something. So there they are. Now, there are people, that's their business. They make good money by promoting products. And I'm not going to lie to you. I'm sure there are people that are promoting products that pay money, but they don't necessarily care if it's good, bad, or ugly. It pays a high rate of commission, so they're willing to promote it. Those things that you see on that page that are listed, I've got a financial interest in those things, both as a customer, having purchased them myself, and in recommending them to you. But I don't have anything on there that I haven't used. I don't have anything on there that I haven't purchased. Would I? Yeah, well, I don't know. It hasn't come up. That's just not really part of what I'm interested in. Some people are. And I know some people that are in affiliate marketing, and they don't necessarily buy everything that they sell. I've been in sales and marketing all my life, and I've sold a lot of products. I haven't owned every product I sold, and I don't think it's necessary. But I've investigated it. I've checked it out. I have found it worthy of some value, sufficient enough that I feel comfortable selling it. So, the other thing, other than full disclosure, that the FTC did is testimonials. Well, testimonials before the crackdown, and I'm going to tell you, even now with the crackdown, because you and I both know, just because some law is passed, just because some government agency decides that we're going to clamp down, does not mean that everybody complies. Get on any highway in Dallas, Texas, and there'll be a posted speed sign. You won't find hardly anybody going that speed. So, law or not, people pretty much do what they want to do until they get caught, and then they morph and they change. The person that wants to be a crook, they're going to be a crook. It doesn't matter what the law says. But testimonials were really put to the test when it came to this anecdotal evidence, because what so many marketers did, in fact, what most marketers, I will go so far as to say most internet marketers, used anecdotal evidence. Why? They're great stories. They are great stories. So somebody has this launch. They launch this product, and they do the big sweeping thing over the internet, and everybody and their dog that you follow on Twitter, they all talk about it, and they all put links to it, and those are affiliate links, and they send out emails to their list, and they tout this thing, and man, it's going to be great. It's going to be wonderful, and the selling price is $1,997. Now, here's what you don't know. $500 or more commission is going to get paid on that item. It could be as high as half of that asking price. That's big ticket. That's big ticket. Well, you know why it's big ticket. It's not big ticket because it's worth $1,997. It's big ticket because if I sell something for $1,997 and I tell you, my buddy, hey, dude, if you'll send me some business, and if people will click the buy link and you've sent them to me, I'll give you $997 and then I'll keep the $1,000. Well, hello, Bill, sign me up. $997 commission on a $1,997 sale? Cha-ching, buddy. Well, how can we get people to click buy? Well, we've got some anecdotal evidence. Now, back in the day, and I'm not nearly as naive as some. In fact, I'll go you one better. I'm enormously cynical. I mean, I'm cynical to a fault. I'm not saying I'm proud of it. It's just, it is what it is. I've gone through some periods of time in my life where I worked hard to not be as cynical, and I can't make it stick. You know, I guess it's like somebody going into rehab. I just saw today, poor Amy Winehouse, back in rehab again. You know, it's just not sticking. Okay, well, I tried to do that with my cynicism, and I just couldn't make it stick. So there's anecdotal evidence. Now, some of it isn't evidence at all. Some of it was just sheer contrived. Here's a photograph. It's a person. There's a name. There's some copy below. And if they're really smart, they used video. Maybe some used audio. And they told these they were just compelling stories. You know, I bought Bob's product, and I put it to the test, and, well, I made back my investment in the first 30 days, and after that, it was just sky's the limit, and it's just been crazy. I took a website from having no traffic at all, and I got on the first page of Google within 30 days, and my traffic, I'm getting tens of thousands of visitors every month to my website, and it just continues to grow exponentially every month, so I'm wholeheartedly recommending that you buy this product. Well, it was just one story like that after another. The expression anecdotal evidence refers both to evidence that is factually unreliable as well as evidence that may be true, but cherry-picked or otherwise unrepresentative of typical cases. So says Wikipedia, and I think that's a pretty terrific sentence, and I think it sums it up nicely. It may be true, but it may not be true. Now, we love anecdotal evidence. We love anecdotal evidence because it's compelling and it's interesting and it makes for a great story. How I turned an investment of $186.14 into an utter waste of time is not a good headline for sales copy. But I can assure you that more people could honestly, truthfully write that as the headline of their online business experience. Far more people, if they were going to be honest and if they were going to be truthful and if they could shed their embarrassment, that would be the headline they would write. How I turned an investment of $186.14 into an utter waste of time. But now here's the problem. The problem is, many, 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 many people have invested far more than that. Lots of people have invested in the $1,997 information product from the biggest names in the business. I know people who have invested in almost every major, I'll call them name brand launch, thousands of dollars. And they've not made dollar one yet. And you know what? I can't prove it. But you know what my gut tells me? And your gut may be telling you? How many people do you suppose out of 100 people who buy such products, how many people do you suppose, A, never consume the entire thing? Let's assume that it's just great and it's terrific, and if you do everything it says, you are guaranteed success. And of course, you're not. Most people, it's just like a book. It's just like a book. People buy books all the time and don't read them. People buy books all the time and they may start or they may skim over some of them, but they don't read it. Not from cover to cover. Happens all the time. Well, it happens with these big high-end products as well. And now let's further refine it a little bit And let's assume that the people consume the entire thing. How many do you suppose, out of 100, how many do you suppose actually do anything? I'd venture to guess that's even a smaller number than those who actually consume it. Why? Well, because that's just how it goes. That's human nature. Most people don't read, and those who do read, most don't do. That's just how it goes. Oh, Randy, that's not right. Well, you have your opinion. I've got mine. This is my show. Get your own show. No, but you hear me. You understand. And you may be one of the unfortunate few who have found out the hard way. And maybe you read it cover to cover. Maybe you consumed it all. Maybe you even tried. You put it to the test and you still couldn't make a go of it. And now you're in a bigger funk than you were ever in before, because now you got credit card debt on top of it all. You were sold a bill of goods and you bought into the anecdotal evidence that you too could be an internet millionaire. Are there people succeeding online? Yes. Is Bill Gates a multi-billionaire? Yes. Is Mark Cuban a multi-billionaire? Yes. Does that mean that you can too be a multi-billionaire? No. Oh, it's possible. It's not very likely. And I'll go you one better. Let's suppose that Mark Cuban decided that he would teach you how to become a millionaire. Forget a billionaire. He's just going to teach you how to become a millionaire. He couldn't do it. And it's not because he's stupid. He couldn't do it. Now, here's what he could do. He could tell you his story. And he's told his story. We know his story. And he could say, well, this is how I did it. Well, now here's the big question. Let's take that, and we know his story is true. We know his story is true. But still, it's anecdotal evidence. Why? Because it is so unrepresentative of typical cases. For every Mark Cuban, how many hundreds or thousands or perhaps tens of thousands of people who began some enterprise and never could flip it, never could sell it, never could find an interested party. Or maybe they did find an interested party, and that party paid them nickels on the dollar. The world's full of those. That is far more typical. That is far more representative of somebody putting their sweat equity into a startup and then trying to cash in, either through an IPO or through an acquisition, maybe even through venture capital. I mean, just talk to any VC, talk to any venture capitalist, and they will tell you that the majority of the things that they put their money in don't make. They've got to so win on the ones that they put the money on that do win to make up for the losses, because the vast majority of the stuff they invest in doesn't make. I mean, that's why it's a brutal game that these guys play. Most fail. I don't say that to depress you. It's just the reality of it. I say it to help protect you. I say it because here's what happens to us, and it happens to all of us. I don't care how smart we are. I don't care how jaded we are. I don't care how cynical we are. We all fall prey to the dream. We just fall prey to the dream. I talk with business owners all the time, and maybe they get some phone call from some attorney, and he's representing someone who for now does not want to disclose their identity, and we would like to engage in some conversation with you about the possibility of buying your little business. Well, you know what happens immediately. Immediately the business owner thinks, this is great. This is great. At last, I've got my exit strategy. I'm going to be able to cash out. I'm going to be able to get some chips off the table. And, you know, only to find out it's not going to happen. But it's real easy. It's real easy to get people to spark that dream and to spark people's imagination. And that's what, well, that's what good sales copy does. I'm not talking about unscrupulous con men. I'm talking about good sales copy. Good sales copy does that. The difference in good sales copy from a reliable marketer, from an honest, high integrity marketer, and from a scam artist is the marketing is intended to spark your imagination. The marketing is intended to spark your dream. But behind the marketing is value. And there's value to you, the customer. There's value to you, the prospect. Sure, it's intended to sell. Sure, it's intended to. Here's how I have likened it before. If I've got a car to sell, I can go about this in a number of different ways. I could have a car that's got problems. I can take that car to a local detail shop, and I could spend a few $100 and say, I want you to shine this bad boy up, and I want it to look like $1 million. And I can get it to look like $1 million, and maybe I can cobble the thing together, whatever problems it's got, I can make those disappear in the short term. Long enough for you to look at it, long enough for you to drive it, and long enough for you to be sold a false bill of goods. I can do that if I'm a scam artist. Now, I could take a car that is trouble-free. I could take a car that is a genuinely good buy. But recent rains, you know, have kind of dirtied up the wheel wells and kind of got some mud on the mats inside, and it's been in cleaner condition, but it's perfect. I mean, it is reliable. There is not one thing cosmetically or mechanically wrong with it other than it's dirty. Well, you're going to find the first car far more attractive. Everything isn't as it appears to be. Now, if I'm a smart marketer and I'm a marketer of integrity, here's what's going to happen. I'm going to take that dirty car that has seen the rain-soaked roads, and I'm going to take it to the local detail shop, and I'm going to pony up a couple of hundred bucks on that car, this perfect car, this immaculate car, this car that is in perfect condition. It's a good buy. But I spend $200 to detail it, and in doing that, I am marketing that car much stronger than if I didn't wash it, than if I didn't detail it. And I'll get far more than my $200 investment back by marketing this car that way. And you know what? If you buy that car, you are the beneficiary of having bought a good car in great condition, because it is what I claim it is. If I've got honesty, if I got integrity, you just got to be aware that I could set these two cars side by side and you might not be able to tell the difference. Not in the short term. You could buy one, the one that mechanically is inferior, the one that's got some problems, but it's been tinkered with so that those problems don't appear, at least for now. You buy that car, you get it home, within 200 miles, you realize you've got some serious problems. Or you buy the car from a person with integrity, and you take that car home, and 200 miles later, and 2,000 miles later, and 20,000 miles later, you've still got a nice car. Two completely different cars. But at first blush, they both look good. Happens all the time. What's the advice? What's the bottom line? I'm going to tell you this. You do not need to spend $1,997 on anything when it comes to being in business online. I don't care who they are. I don't care who they are. I'll go you one better. If somebody is selling something for $1,997, you cannot trust them. And if you do, you're a fool. You may not like it. I'm telling it like it is. You know why I can say it? I am about 10 feet away from a filing cabinet, and in that cabinet, I have got some physical products. $1,997 worth. Yes, I do. You heard it right. You heard it right. Now, I wasn't in the biz op business. I wasn't looking for a biz op. I was just investigating marketing, and I'm running a business, and I'm just looking for, okay, well, how are people using the internet to market their business? That's what I thought I was getting. Well, it's not what I got. And I've got more than one. And you can say, well, boy, you're the fool. Yeah, you're exactly right. I am. But I'd be a fool if I went back and did it now that I know what I know. But at the time, I didn't know. I didn't know what I know now. I was a real idiot. I know people who can absolutely positively say that I have turned an investment of $186.14 into an utter waste of time. But what about all the people out there who can say, I've turned an investment, I have turned an expense of thousands of dollars of credit card debt, and what I've got to show for it is an utter waste of time. Folks, business is business. There are some principles of business, and I can tell you right now, you don't have to spend a dime to learn them. There's so much information on the internet. Now, the problem is, how can you separate the good stuff from the garbage? There's the hard part. How can you find people that you can trust? There's the hard part. Well, you got to spend some time. You've got to spend some time. And over time, people do show their colors, but know this, there are an awful lot of really good actors in the internet. There are an awful lot of really good actors in internet marketing. There are an awful lot of people who are very successful, and they themselves have made big money. Now, they've made big money more often than not in duping unsuspecting people. And I'm not at all throwing everybody in the same boat, but I am throwing virtually every big name that you would care to name who has some high end, and by high end I mean a $2,000 or more information product, I will tell you right now, scam artist. You don't have to agree with me, but I'm telling you, con men, scam artist, immoral, unethical, low integrity, in it for the buck. Namely, your bucks. Your credit card debt is the last thing on their mind. They full well know that what they're selling is not probably worth $47, much less $1,997. They also full well know that the majority of us who buy their stuff, we're not even going to take the time to consume it. Some of these guys just throttle you with so much fluff and garbage and information, well, it would you'd spend a year just trying to go through it all. Oh, but we're going to give you this bonus and that bonus and this other bonus. And they stack the bonuses so deep, you're swimming in information. You are swimming in a sea of information. Do you think that that's all bonus? No, it's not bonus. It's drown you in a sea of information that you can't possibly consume, that you can't possibly do anything with. You know, there's no formula. Sorry. Mark Cuban could sit down if he would do this, and he won't, but if you could pay a dollar amount to Mark Cuban where he would sit you down and personally tell you his story out of his own mouth, here's what I did. I can promise you he would not end it by saying, now you go do it. Why? Because he knows it's not replicable. Does that mean that nobody will ever be able to replicate what Mark Cuban did in some other business? No. It's just that if they do, it's anecdotal evidence. It is not representative of typical cases. The fact of the matter is, Cuban did something specific at a specific time. He had specific people in his life. Specific circumstances came to fruition, and he was smart enough. He was wise enough. He took advantage of it, and it worked out. But I dare say he would probably be one of the first to tell you it could just as easily have not worked out. And then what? But it did work out. But it did work out. Now, if you're a person and you came to him and you said, Mark, I've got a couple of $100 million. I really would like to be a billionaire. One day, I'd like to be a billionaire, Mark, and I've got a couple of $100 million. Could you help me do that? I don't have any doubt he could do that. But now that's a whole different scenario when you come to a guy who's a multi-billionaire and you got a couple of $100 million already. Well, you got something to work with. And now guess what we've got? Now we've got business building. Now we've got some principles happening here. Now we've got a man who's got some information and some know-how who could help you take that investment or some portion of it and begin to build it and begin to grow it. Oh, you'd lose some along the way. But just like the VCs, the winners that you would have, they would vastly outweigh the losers. And if you did it long enough, and if you had some good fortune along the way, I don't have any doubt that Mark Cuban could take a person who's got a couple of $100 million and eventually help them become a billionaire. I have no doubt about that at all. But to say that we could take a person who's going to invest $186.14 and they can now convert that into a full-time income earned online is ludicrous. But people every day believe it's possible. Why? Because some marketer has told them so. Hey, you're fortunate if $186.14 is all that you have converted into an utter waste of time. There are many people who have, well, they've turned far more than that into a waste of time. And you don't want that to be you. You sure don't want that to be you. Hey, my name is Randy Cantrell. I'll be more upbeat next time. But I really want you to protect yourself. I really want you to protect your wallet. Do not believe everything that you hear. Do not believe everything that you read. Do not believe every video that you see. Do not believe that all of the people that give testimony are giving you honest testimony. I don't care what the law says. I don't care what the FTC crackdown is. People get indicted every week. People get sued every week for being con men and liars. And you and I both know when it comes to our money, there are many, many people who will do anything they can to get our money. They are not interested in a value exchange. They are interested in our money. You need to only seek to do business with people that have your interest at heart. Because, yes, they believe they have something that is worthwhile. They have something that they believe is worth the price of admission. Whatever they charge, they believe it's worth that, or they wouldn't charge it. But they also believe that you're getting something in exchange. They're giving you value in exchange for your money. And the very best marketers on the planet, they know this. It's far more difficult to get you to say yes the first time than it is to say yes the second time. And the very best marketers on the planet, the very best providers on the planet, the very best service people on the planet, the very best product people on the planet, they know that there's far more value in the second and third and fourth purchase that you make from them than in the first. They know that it's more profitable for you, and it's vastly more profitable for them. Everybody comes out on top when the repeat business is there. Now, having said that, you and I both know the con men. Well, all I've got to do is give you this challenge. Go find a blog and go read the absolute worst blog post that you can find. And if the comments are open, see if you don't find someone, perhaps a lot of people, who have made this comment in the blog comments. Great post. Man, your best post ever. Terrific. It's called social proof, you know. No, I tell you what it is. It's anecdotal evidence. It refers both to evidence that is factually unreliable as well as evidence that may be untrue but cherry-picked or otherwise unrepresentative of typical cases. There you have it. From the Yellow Studio. Man, aren't you glad it's Memorial Day weekend? I kind of am. That's it for May 27th, 2011. Episode 90. You believe in that? Episode 90. An utter waste of time? I hope not. I hope you haven't found it an utter waste of time. I rather enjoy trying to be the voice of truth and cynicism. I admit it. Find me at BulaNetwork.com. I'd love to hear your feedback, 214-736-4406. You can send me email to results. That's what I'm after, results at BulaNetwork.com. That's BulaNetwork.com. Till next time, I'll see you.